Well, I've been asked more than once that if I don't think that Christianity is all about heaven and hell as post-mortem destinations decided by whether we, quote, accept Jesus into our hearts, a phrase I find increasingly distasteful as I get more curmudgeonly in my old age. I've been asked more than once, what's the point in being a Christian? Actually, more than once, it's been framed as, are you a Christian? Or, you're a heretic. Or my favorite, you're an apostate. That's a great story, but I'll tell it another day. It's not a bad question. What is the point of being a Christian? Or calling ourselves a Christian? Why, for instance, for me, after 40 years plus of trying to follow the way of Christ, am I still sticking with it? What do I think it's for? What do I think is going on? Enter Paul, preaching today in the book of Acts at the shrine of the unknown God in a place called the Areopagus. I did have to practice that too. Paul says, you worship what you do not know. And to paraphrase, I want to tell you what I do know of the God who works in all creation and through all time. Paul, in this passage, is mind-blowingly expansive. He acknowledges the revelation of God through all creation in many different cultures and forms. A God who works in the lives of all, who pours out grace upon everyone. A God not limited by human concepts nor human imagination. A God who is accessed freely, who can be apprehended by all, no matter what, their race or culture or background. In essence, Paul is trying to give the Athenians who are seeking ways in which to talk about God a vocabulary for that discussion, a way of speaking of the divine and the actions of grace in everyday lives. And that's what I think we're about. It's what I think we as Christ community are to do. We are seeking through our part in these ancient stories, myths, and images of faith to give people a way of knowing and expressing the deep spirituality that I believe everyone carries. Not to bind people up in doctrine and dogma, but to use our tradition, our scriptures, the beauty of our liturgy, our music, our art, to create a sense of connection and transcendence, a connection with something greater than ourselves, being a part of a bigger story, a greater sense of meaning. And we recognize that this is not the only way in which connection to the divine can be expressed. Our siblings who are part of other traditions, equally as Paul refers to in today's passage, have access to this depth and meaning, this spirituality. On Friday, in her charge to Synod, Bishop Anna reminded us that we are in the midst of massive change, that we here in this diocese of islands and inlets are in the least religious diocese in North America. In this city, 60% of census respondents list their religious affiliation as none. Some comfort, Nanaimo's has 63% who list themselves as none, so we're not the most godless place in North America. But many of those, I'm sure, would describe themselves honestly as spiritual but not religious. Why? Primarily because the institutions of religion have failed them. They failed those who are seeking spirituality. We have, though often unconsciously, layered expectations upon newcomers, visitors, and seekers. You'll stand here, sit here, line up here, put money in the plate here, sing here, do this. We try our best to make people feel comfortable and welcome, but we so often, those of us who have been part of the life of the church for any length of time, just expect others to do what we do. We don't think twice about how it might feel to walk into a new community, to be handed a bulletin and expected to find a place to sit, to sing together, to have an offering plate thrust in front of us, to line up to receive bread and wine. I think many of us, and I include myself in this, find it hard to get out of our own heads, our own traditions, our own expectations, and visualize what it would be like to be new to all of this. We're so often bound up in our own concerns, how we've always done things, how we can keep things going, how we can move forward with a minimal amount of change, please. Again, in her charge to Synod, Bishop Anna said some wise reflection. She said, having studied both Hebrew and New Testament scriptures, she has yet to find a place where God says to the people, it's okay, stay where you are, nothing needs to change. Bishop Logan used to say something similar when he said, and I'm not going to try and do the Logan accent, try to imagine that the status quo is not inevitable. Paul gets this. In our passage from Acts, he offers a new way of seeing, a new way of speaking, a new way of interpreting the old in a new and transformed way. I believe that that's where we are. I see in both of you who have become a part of our family in this past few years, and in those who have been a part of this community for some while, a desire to be transformed and to be a transforming community. If the pandemic has taught us nothing else, it's that things can be done differently. We can adapt. We can open ourselves to different ways. We can welcome people through new and innovative ways. If we are to be those offering a new vocabulary for those who want a way to express their spirituality, if we want to be a community that is welcoming and engaging and deeply committed to the ways of justice, equity, and affirmation, if we want to be those who grow together into this new community, there are new ways of seeing and of being that we are being called to. And for a glimpse of that, a beginning of it, we can turn to our gospel for today, where we hear the words that many of us know so well. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. What are those commandments that Jesus gives? They aren't only what Christians call the Ten Commandments, or even the 613 commandments of the Hebrew mitzvah. All of those commandments point to one thing, as Jesus says just a couple of chapters before today's passage. Love one another as I have loved you. Our calling is to be rooted and grounded in love. A love which cares for those within our community, looking after one another as the body of Christ. A love which offers welcome to the stranger and the visitor. A love which stands up for the marginalized and excluded. A love which recognizes that even in a changing world, love is to be the constant. Bishop Anna repeated in her charge to Synod, the future will not be like the past, and the future is bright. We have the opportunity to leave behind those attitudes and practices which have weighed us down, those things which have kept us rooted in anything other than love. We can be open to a whole new way of being and doing, holding on to those things which are of value and letting go of those things which are of not. I truly believe that if we can grasp the opportunities and the challenges of the current time, we will move beyond the anxieties which our community holds, the concerns which threaten to narrow our vision, and we will move into a transformed future, a future filled with faith and hope and love, a future where we can offer a new language, a new perspective, and a place to belong for all who are seeking. Pray God it may be so. Amen.